Certainly good to be here. My mind has went back much to the yesteryears because some of this has been likened to the yesteryears. Last night, yesterday, especially last night. And, you know, we think about yesterday, we talk about it. But God is still the same today that He was yesterday or 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever. He's still the same God. He wants to bless us. He will bless us when we get in shape for Him to bless us. We have to get ourselves in shape for that. And the Lord's been good to us here. Yesterday, today, and give us great moving of the Spirit in the services. And I'm thankful for that. That's some great singing, some great preaching, some great things here this morning. And I trust that if you'll pray real hard, the preacher come along. I might use us for just a few minutes here. Today, I told Brother Dixon to get somebody else, but he seemed to lean to us, so I'm here to do what I can for the Lord, to hold Him up, because that's what I want to do. I want to lift Him up, that if you're lost, that I might be able to help you to see yourself and see where you are today. I do believe that we're in the last days. I believe we are facing the end time. And all the other times that you think about is not very important. They're in the past. But how are you with the Lord? That's the question that I'd like for you to think about. How are you with the Lord? Can you cope with these days, these last days, and stay true to Him? Now, I'm going to say this before I read out of the Luke chapter 21. I'll read a few verses here. And I want you to think about yourself facing the end times, facing the time that when you will have to stand and give account of your own life before the Lord. This is important in our lives. In the 21st chapter of the book of St. Luke, if you found it, when you do find it, I want you to look at verse 25, and we'll start with it and read several verses here that might be able to get you to see the point on what we want you to look at this morning. I do need your prayers. I covet your prayers. Pray that God will help me here this morning to help you to do the things that God would have you to do this morning. I copied a few scriptures down because I felt like I might want to use them. And I may do that, and I may not. But I did copy a few down. And I probably will use some of them. But I want you to think about facing the end time, the end of this world, the end times of life. Many of you that's much older than I am, and not many of you that has been maybe through the trials that I've been through, but you have been through something similar to what I've been through. Some of the same thing that works in everybody's life. Abraham went through them. Many of the prophets went through them. You and I must go through them also. So you think about it with us this morning. And the 25th verse of the 21st chapter of the book of St. Luke, and there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waxing and roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for the looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your hearts, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, you, when you see these things come to pass, you know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare they shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Father in heaven, we bow our heads humble, thanking you for this day, thanking you for blessing us with the privilege of being here this morning. We are asking, Lord, for your help to help us to rightly divide your word. Lord, if there's a lost man, woman, boy, girl in this building tonight, this morning we pray that you would touch them, draw them to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We pray, God, that you'd search everyone in the building. God, help us to see ourselves as we are. We ask you to bless the sick, the shut in, those whom it's our duty to pray for. But Lord, we ask in you to bless us now as we stand in the presence of these people in the next few minutes. In Jesus' holy and precious name that we humbly pray. Amen. I thank you for standing with us tonight. Keeping with the last days, I want you to think about it with me this morning. What a time to be alive. I want you to think about what a day it is just to be living as we are today. And a time of expectation, a time when the prophecy is being fulfilled, literally fulfilled in our very eyes today. When we're looking at the world around us closing in, things are happening in the world around us, and the doors, the time of open doors, are sharing the gospel with the lost world. The gospel is going out. It's not being hid. It's going to the four winds of the earth. And a few years ago, we was listening to Billy Graham, and he was talking about how that they were sending out the gospel that was going to one country that was the only one they liked, and they hoped to get it into that country in the next few days. So we are in a time of there is nothing view of the time. Fear is an epidemic in this world. Fear is something that is troubling people. I think that's why the people is running and doing the things that they're doing, is because they fear the fact that they're going to have to face God out there one day, because it's an evident fact that you and I will have to face Him somewhere out there. Fallen moral standards is falling down. A standard of a Christian in this world is very low today. The standard of a Christian life is not what it was just a few short years ago. know the standard of a Christian life is very, very far down, down. Our lives is not what it ought to be in the eyes of the world. That's been talked about by the preachers that's already preached here this week. And we thought about Brother New as he talked to us yesterday about the how do you really believe God? Do you really believe Him? Do you? I ask you the question, do you really believe Him today? You think about it now. Fear is an epidemic. Fallen moral standard is fallen law. And we are living in one of the most wicked times that I have ever experienced in these better than 50 years into the ministry. I'm looking at the time people is looking out for their self, or trying to find a comfort in themselves, for trying to find a peace in themselves, trying to find a way to say that everything is all right with them. We look at the fallen morals and standards. David said, or Daniel rather said, but I said, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now, knowledge has increased in our generation today. We have more knowledge than we've ever had. People go to the moon, you think nothing about it, and people do the things that they choose to do, and while that we are rambling around here in this world and don't have any permanent dwelling and no permanent living in this world. But by being aware of the signs of the time, and we think about life and life in its short span here in this world, I tell you today that not many people that live to be 100 years old. But if you do, it's all still pointing to ourselves, isn't it? It's a pointing to our being in the world. But if we live to be 100 years old, it's still the same story in everyone's life. You're going to have to face the Lord out there, regardless of what your name is and who you are. I've had people that tell me that they wouldn't have to face the Lord. I believe every one of us will face the Lord and give an account of the stewardship of our lives to a lost and a dying world out there, how we've conducted ourselves in the sight of the world out there. I tell you today, as we look at it, we find ourselves being in a weight in the balance and found wanting. Be sure that your sin will find you out. You think about it this morning. How would it be with you this morning? Should the book be open and you stand in the presence? I'm not talking about in the presence of one of these preachers. I'm not talking about that. But in the presence of an almighty God, the one that has created us, the one that has made a remedy for us, that has made a plan for us, that we could have, we didn't have to die. He gave His Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. This is not talking about the people, the worldly things out there, but He is talking about the people there. He's talking about you and I, the things that you and I face out there in the world today. Then He said, the sign of the nation, the fig tree. I want you to look at that. Look at the fig tree this morning. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. Look at them this morning and think about it. We think about life and its short span here. But one day we shall all face the Lord Himself. Not somebody else, but face Him in the realities of our lives and the sins that has been committed in our lives. The Israel, the fig tree representing Israel and all nations, or all nations are prophecy places in the world. Ezekiel and the 28th and 29th, 38th and 39th chapter, believe you'll find it will be Ezekiel, that you will find where he's talking about the end time with the people there, the end time of our time, the end time that we would come face to face with the Lord. I'm going to tell you today that Israel is a fading, somebody said, a fading away, but it will not fade away. Israel will still stand when everything else is faded away. Israel, my friends, has been overcome by Iran and some of them over there, the Muslim world, and we today are living in a time, my friends, when that we do not know for sure how it's going to be with us, but we need to find ourselves and see where we are in the eyes of the Lord. I declare unto you this morning that God has laid a pattern down for us to look at and see ourselves, and we see the Word of God and look at ourselves compared with the Word of God. We find ourselves being weighed in the balances and found wanting there because of a lack of really trusting God with all that we have, all of our being, looking to Him and putting our trust, our faith in Him. We go on in our own pernicious ways, forgetting about Israel, forgetting about God, forgetting about what He's told us to look for. So as we look at this, and He said, one day now shoot forth, you shall know of your own self that summer is nigh at hand. Now, when you see the fall in the wood, when you see the world increasing with knowledge, when you see these things coming to pass, then you shall know that the end is getting closer at hand. When you see these things come to pass, when you see Israel being overrun, when you see an Israel take her place, as the prophecy says, when you see all of these things taking place, then you do know that it's getting nigh at hand. You don't have to guess at it. You don't have to worry with it. You just know that it's getting close at hand. So therefore, behooves you and I, bless your heart, that we prepare for the day. And my friends, if you're not prepared for that day, then you are in great trouble out there, because it will come as a thief in the night. It will come whether you are expecting it or not. It will come, my friends, regardless of the theory that they have of the country today, that you're just going to die and that's all there's going to it. That's not so, people. The Bible teaches us there is a heaven and there is a hell out there. And I'm going to tell you today, my friends, that you and I must prepare to go to heaven. You don't have to do nothing to go to hell. My friends, hell is enlarging herself. She is moving up to receive thee at thy coming. So heaven is not enlarging herself. You don't find it enlarging itself. But hell has enlarged itself. And it's moving toward you. It's coming toward you. And I declare unto you this morning, I bet if you are not ready, you need to get ready. I declare that nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and prepared a place for the world stage. But my friend, technology, to things around us, and that ye have no mind. A man might buy or sell or say, he that hath no the mark of the beast or the number of his name in their forehead or hand. I'm going to tell you, I believe that you that we will see a time when that we're going to look for the Lord to come, and He's already come. You know, I believe that. I believe that's going to make people surprised when He gets here, when He calls His people out, and they're going to say, "Well, I thought this would happen, but why is it happening now? Why? Because it's getting near. It's nigh to us today. If we would stop and look at the Word of God and see ourselves in the Word of God and see the coming of the Lord, that it's very close out there." I declare unto you, my friend, that God is not going inside, going by some other sign, signs that should cause you to look up and be encouraged. We are witnesses until He returns. I want you to look over, if you will, in the book of Acts, the Apostle, chapter 1. I want you to look at verses 8. He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud to receive him not out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and the which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you have saw go into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have saw him go into heaven." And how you think about it, he's coming back for them that you're looking for him. He's coming back for the people that has prepared for him. He's coming back for a people that has made preparations for his coming, that has made their peace calling with the Lord. I declare unto you this morning that God has not left us in a dark place, but the Holy Spirit, if you've been born of the Spirit of God, it has given to you the evidence that we are in the last days. Now, we don't have to guess at this. This is something that is given unto us by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. And there shouldn't be anything else out there to put us in a dark place today. So we ought to know that the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand. I thank God today. I keep looking upward and outward until that he appears. I look for him. He shall come back. He said he would. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I thank God for the promise he made. And he's not slack concerned his promises. He has kept his promise from the very beginning up until this very moment of time. He has kept his promise. And I'll assure you today that he will keep his promise that has not been already fulfilled. He will keep that promise just as sure as you're here today. Alright? Then we keep looking upward and outward. He comes a time is 29, and if we look at 28 and 30 and 31, he said, and when these things shall begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your hands, for your redemption draweth nigh. Your redemption draweth nigh. You wonder what you mean? That means when he's coming back. That means when he's going to give us a new body. We're going to have a new body. And that's when he's going to clean us up. That's when everything's going to be all right. Everything will be all right. I'll tell you, there won't be nothing lacking there. Everything's going to be all right. Look at it. I want you to think about it. And so now keep looking upward and outward until he comes. The time is nigh, and the word endures through trouble, and the time of the Bible faith. In Romans 17, 10 and 17, he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. If you've never been taught the word of God, I've been told that I ask a question, said, what's going to happen to these people that never darken a church door? What's going to happen to them? God's going to take care of it. You let him take care of it. Our job is to get the gospel out, that they might hear the gospel, that they might hear it and believe it. And that if they do hear it and believe it, then that's great. But if they don't hear it, then there's trouble down the line. My friends, as we look at this, and as we think about it, the Bible keeps us from sin. That in 119 and the 11th verse of the Word, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm going to tell you, we need the Word of God hid within us, that we would be able, my friends, to stand against the wiles of the devil. I don't care who you are. You might think that you're going to stand, but without the Lord, you cannot stand. Without your whole armor of God on, you will not be able to stand. When you fix yourself, or when you stand in the presence of God, therefore, if you don't have the whole armor of God on, you will stand there in great amazement, because God is not looking for you. He's looking for somebody that has believed him, that has trusted him, that has went with him all the way. All the way. I'm not talking about part of the way. I'm not talking about went with him all the way. Abraham kept the faith, believing that God was going to reward him, that he was going to give him a son. And he did. And so on, down the line, I could go on and preach some of the things you've already heard. That God is not slack concerning his promises. He's kept every promise he's ever made. And he will keep this promise that he's made. I will come and receive you unto me, that where I am, there you may be also. Can we cope with that? Can we look at him? Can we look at a time when Jesus will come and come after us and take us to our boarding place or our staying place there in heaven with him? I tell you today that we are looking at a black world out there, a time when people are looking at their stuff, looking at the things of the world, looking at the pleasures of life, looking at the Paul. And let me turn over there. I'd miss some of it if I tried to quote it to you. But there's some things that I want you to look at here, if I can find it over here. But we have a time of looking at the people out there. They don't really know what they're doing out there. But Paul, in his writing, he wrote to the Hebrew people, and he said to them, Paul, said to them, said, you've got all these people here, and they don't really know what they're doing. And if we stop here and see Timothy, when he said, this know also, that in the last days there shall come a perilous time. You think about it today. We are already in perilous time. What does perilous mean? That means dangerous time. And death is staggered up on everybody out here. It doesn't make any difference who you are. Death is right there. It's there. It's a part of your life. It's a part that you look at is death. And my friend, I declare unto you that this know also that in the last day perilous times shall come. Do you see that today? Dangerous times for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breaker, false accuser, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, the traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Think about it. We have people today that's more concerned about the things of the world, the things out there to tickle the ears, the things out there that they get contentment with. And I'm going to declare unto you today that we are living in those days and having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof from such, turn away from it. Get away from it. Don't do this. Stay out of it. Stay with the Lord. That the end is nigh. The end is nigh. We are looking at the end time. We're looking at a time when God is going to call and say, I'm coming. I'm coming. Are you ready? Are you ready for it? You think about it this day. Think about it this day. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambra and withstood Moses, so do those who resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose and faith, long-suffering, earthly patience, charity and patience. You've known my life. You know what I've done. That people, we do not have to be pleasing to Charles Dixon or one of these preachers or one of you other preachers out there, but we must be pleasing in the sight of an Almighty God today, because He created us. He gave us the breath that we breathe. He has given unto us everything that we need in life. And my friends, today, as surely as you are here today, the Lord will come back. Will you want Him? Were you ready for Him? He'll come. It doesn't make any difference for you. Plan on Him to be in your daily actions out there. He will come back. Now then, the Bible keeps us from sin. And I've hid the Word in my heart that I might not sin against the Lord. That's what David said. David has sinned. Of course he sinned. Yes, he did. I have no need of me talking about that. Most of you know that. I think about everybody knows that he did sin. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He also, I got out there and repented of his sin, and God blessed him. And I'm going to tell you today that God will bless you when you repent of your sin. Are you ready for His coming today? Are you ready for His second coming when He comes back to this world to possess the church, to get the church together, and they're going to be a wedding take place? Are you ready for that today? Are you? I think about it. I ask you humbly to think about it today. God is not one to throw out chunter on the dry side. God loves you today. If there's anybody in the world that loves you, it's the Lord that loves you today. And regardless of what you think about it, He still loves you today. And I ask you humbly, would you think about it? The Bible keeps us informed. It keeps us in line. But the Holy Ghost keeps us in subject to the will of God. And the the Holy Ghost is what we get to follow and be led by. And then we need each other while the storms is going on, while the storms are raging. And then we look at Hebrews and 20 and 10 and 23. I want you to look with me there. And then we're going to close 10 and 23. As we look at that, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised us. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We need to encourage each other. We need to tell each other that we care. We need to let the lost know that we care. You can't win somebody to the Lord if you don't speak to them, if you can't talk to them. You can't win somebody to the Lord if you cannot have fellowship with them. You have to be able to have fellowship with them. I'm not talking about doing the rotten things they do, but I'm talking about telling them about Jesus and His return, His coming back. It's not a question, will He come? It's a fact that He will come. Are you ready for Him to come? That's a question. Will you, how will you cope in this last night? How will you cope with it this last night? I pray that God would help you to see yourself and see yourself as you are in the very presence of God. I know this has been different to what you used to, what you might have been expecting. I don't know about that. This perplexity means bewilderment. It makes a person uncertain and hesitate. You know, this perplexity had a pretty big word in that first verse I read in that chapter. That perplexity has a great big thing in it. Uncertain. And then most church folk, most people that go to church today is uncertain. They're not satisfied. They're not happy in their life. They're going on as if that God was just made these promises and He's not going to fulfill them. Huh? I tell you today, we need a revival in America today. We need a revival among church folks today. Because we need people to get right with God and to live right. And live right in this world. And if we live right, we wouldn't be in all the stuff that's going on in the world today. If we would live right, it's up to us what we're going to do. It's up to us how we live, how we conduct ourselves. It's up to us. I declare unto you today that people are running to and fro all over this country, doing the things that they want to do, the things they curious to do, the things that they choose to do. And I declare unto you this morning that you and I better come out from among the world and be a separated people over there. If there's ever been a time in my lifetime, in this 70, almost 80 years, some of the wickedest people in the world today that I've ever seen. I don't care type people. And some of them go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday night. Some of them have got church put off now on Wednesday night. It's got it put off on Sunday night. Some of them are getting to where we don't go to church but once a week, and that's all we can do. And I'm still looking for the Lord to come. Yeah. Huh? We're still looking for the Lord to come. Now, I could get real nice to you this morning. I really could. Because people have turned a deaf ear to the Word of God. And we read it, and we read it, and we read it, and we read it, and we change 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 it, and we're in great trouble in this country today. We're in great trouble. And I declare unto you today that unless America turns back to God in leaps and bounds, we are doomed as sure as the world today. I declare unto you that you can say, "Oh, preacher, that's all out there in the wild." It may be. But I'm going to declare unto you this morning that unless you and I, and unless the world around us turns back to God, this world is going down just as sure as the world. I pray that God will help you to see this and think about it. And I pray that God will help you to examine yourself this morning. Are you ready for Him to come? Are you? You think about it. I'm asking you a simple question. I'm talking to everybody on this front row up here. There's got a bunch of men over here, three over here on this side, but all the way down both sides here. I'm talking to you this morning. Are you ready for the Lord to come back? Are you ready? If you're not, why don't you get ready this morning? This could be the last time that you'd ever hear a message from God. It could be the last time. This could be the last message you would ever hear. I don't know that. I'm not saying it's true that it is. I'm just saying it might be. I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, you need to get ready, because the coming of the Lord is sure and steadfast and unchangeable. Just as sure as you and I are here today, God's Word is going to be fulfilled. Just as sure as you're here. And I pray that you could see that this morning. While they come, I want them to give us a song. And I want to have an invitation song. And I'd like to, while that you stand, while they come and sing a verse of a song, I want you to think about the end time is close at hand. And folks, I believe that if you are concerned about the end time, that you want to get right with the God. And if you're not right, this would be an awful good time to get right. There'd be somebody meet you down here, and I pray with you if you'd come. But you're going to have to pray yourself. I'm not going to tell you how to pray. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you one thing. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for this preacher to tell you how to pray. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't. None of them. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I believe with all of my heart this morning that if you humble yourself, yeah, the Holy Ghost will teach you to pray. Amen. And I believe when the Holy Ghost teaches you to pray, he'll get things straightened out with you, and you'll be a different creature in this world. Come on, while they sing, whatever. It don't make no difference. Some of them. God bless you. Amen. Think about it. While she sings, will you come? Will you come? Come this morning. Will you come? Will you come?
Children are scattered all over.
Think about it this morning. Think about it. Is there one in the world? Is there one in the world that you need to come this morning? Would you come? Would you come? Think about it. End time. End time.
And mothers.
Would you come? Is there one? Is there one in the world? Think about it this morning.
On the altar where we used to
one in the world.
Pray.
One in the world. Would you come?
Seek out the old paths and walk therein. Our children
think about
are
it.
Crying.
It's your life. It's you that will face the Lord. Are you ready?
Are you ready? Satan is laughing
it.
As God's people
look about
pray.
It.
There's dust on the altar.
Look about it this morning. Would you come?
To pray.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I thank God for the privilege of being here. I thank God for the privilege to talk to you this morning about the coming of the Lord. I know you've heard great messages here, preached here yesterday and last night. Some great messages. I know the message that I preach to you today is different to what you listened to yesterday and last night in many ways. But a whole lot of it is what you heard preached last night, what you heard preached yesterday. And I'm going to tell you one thing for sure. You and I will face the Lord. You'll not get by. You and I will face the Lord. We will give account for every sin that we've ever committed. God bless you. I love you. I appreciate you. I love the church. I appreciate the church. May God's rich blessings be with each one of you, is our humble prayer.